One of the surprises in the recently adopted state budget was the inclusion of language addressing the New York City mayor's ability to oversee education in the five boroughs. There was an expectation in Albany that the powers, which were set to expire this year, wouldn't be addressed until the end of the legislative session. But Mayor Eric Adams and his partner on this topic, Governor Kathy Hochul, were successful in getting a deal on an earlier timeline. To discuss the extension that was approved and how it got done, we're joined by two of Politico New York's education reporters. And here in the studio at the Capitol, we have Caitlin Cordero. Thanks for visiting us, Caitlin.
Thank you for having me.
And calling in remotely from New York City is Medina Torre. Welcome back, Medina.
Thank you for having me.
So in 2022, Mayor Eric Adams was granted a two-year extension of his power over New York City schools. What sort of extension and authority was he looking for from Albany this year?
This year, Mayor Adams and Governor Hochul were pushing for a four-year extension of mayoral control, and they wanted to maintain mayoral control as it currently is, which is the mayor, you know, picks his school's chancellor. He appoints the majority of the members of the Panel for Educational Policy, which is the city Department of Education's governing body. It's key to mayoral control. They wanted that to be maintained in its current structure. They did not want to see any changes to that system. They warned against returning to the old school board system that governed New York City public schools previously, where you had 32 school boards. There were a lot of concerns about the corruption and patronage that happened there. So that was essentially what they were looking for.
Well, Medina, can you elaborate a little bit more on the role the Panel for Educational Policy plays? Because I know the union representing teachers in New York City was particularly interested in ensuring that there's independent leadership on that body.
The Panel for Educational Policy is really interesting because it had 23 members. Now it's going to 24 members. They vote on contracts that the administration wants to get done. A major issue for the Panel for Educational Policy is school co-locations and closing. They're a governing body for the DOE.
And you touched on the fact that the New York City school system has not always had mayoral control. What is the alternative? What predates this model?
So prior to mayoral control, you had this old school board system. So you had 32 school boards, and that was different because the individual school districts, individual school boards were determining policies, whereas now with mayoral control, which came into place in 2002, the mayor has more authority. He picks the school's chancellor. He dictates a lot more of the policy.
So the final budget did not include everything that Mayor Adams and Governor Hochul had hoped for, but it does include an extension. Can you walk us through what the budget language includes?
Basically, the lawmakers extended mayoral control for 2 years. One aspect of it is requiring the Department of Education to make more commitments to comply with the state law requiring lower class sizes. And that is a key priority for the UFT, the City Teachers Union, which is influential and also with whom many state lawmakers are aligned. And so the city now has to construct more buildings and maintain the levels of funding that are needed for schools to lower class sizes. That's a big part of it. The other aspect of it is a change to the Panel for Educational Policy. Even though the mayor will still be able to appoint the majority of members and still be able to pick the school's chancellor, the Panel for Educational Policy will grow by one member. And what's going to happen now is that Albany officials, like the leaders of the Senate and the Assembly and the Board of Regents, will have a role in picking the chair of the panel. So before, the panel would select the chair through a vote, but the mayor would effectively handpick the chair because he appoints the majority of members. But now Albany officials will present nominees to the mayor, and he'll pick from that group of nominees. So that's the other change that's a part of it, and that's essentially what mayoral control is going to look like for the next 2 years.
So, Caitlin, as I mentioned at the top, there was an expectation, given what's happened on this issue in past years, that this would not be part of the final budget and that it would be considered in the final stretch of the legislative session. How did this come together as part of the budget?
It was an expectation that this would be something that would be dealt with in a post-budget session. There was a report from the State Education Department that was expected to come out on March 31st, which is the same day that the budget was due. But thanks to a late budget that created a little more room for Governor Hochul to bring that back onto the table. But it was a surprise for the countless individuals that Medina and I spoke with in this reporting. Assemblymember Jessica Gonzalez Rojas, she described it as shocking because they were gearing up to debate this issue after the budget was finalized and after they had some time to go through the report. But by bringing this back onto the table, really at the last minute of budget talks, we're hearing that the budget was close to getting a deal done. And then over the weekend before it was passed, it was brought back on the table by Governor Hochul. By bringing it back on the table, that meant that rather than letting lawmakers debate this, and you know, there are a lot of lawmakers who have not been happy with the mayor's handling of this, especially with class size mandate, cuts to education. So by putting it in the hands of the legislature, he would have no control or any allies with to be able to help, you know, sway the outcome. So by bringing it into the budget, they were able to kind of have the governor, who was supportive of a four-year extension, have a hand in these negotiations.
And is that your read on the political calculus here in Albany, that the mayor doesn't necessarily have a ton of allies in the legislature, Assemblymember Jennifer Raj Kumar excluded in that conversation, who would actually be able to do some of the heavy lifting on this issue if it was a standalone bill as opposed to being done in the budget where the governor plays a much bigger hand in crafting policy?
For this issue in particular, you had a lot of lawmakers who said that they were waiting for this report from the Education Department to come out, and that would help sway their decision on, you know, how the state should proceed. I think that an extension was something that would have needed to happen regardless, because if you're going to make changes to the system, you need time to be able to make changes and create a plan. With that said, you have, you know, senators like Senator John Liu, who has a lot of pull on the Senate side and a lot of power, who was, you know, adamant that he did not want to see, you know, another four-year extension and wants to see changes and wants to ensure that the city is abiding by the class size mandate. From what I've heard and from my conversations, he has talked about how that should have been left for post-budget. And even with talking, you know, on the assembly side, Assemblymember Michael Benedetto, who chairs the Education Committee, he also talked about the fact that even though he is supportive of a four-year extension of mayoral control, he wanted to see that debated by the legislature and not done within budget negotiations.
Well, Medina, as the mayor begins the process of adopting a budget for New York City, are you seeing any signs of compliance with some of the mandates that come with this latest extension of mayoral control, whether it is the issue of reducing the city's share of funding for schools or actually developing a plan and investing the resources to comply with the state's class size law?
Yeah, well, with respect to the budget, there was a recent development. The mayor had announced some funding to, you know, address some issues around that lawmakers and advocates have raised regarding outreach for 3K. There's always been concerns that the current administration hasn't been doing enough to educate families about their preschool options. So they've, you know, announced some funding for that. They've also announced some funding to address some education programs that have been funded by federal stimulus dollars that are set to expire. But there is $170 million in cuts to preschool that remain that council members are, you know, still negotiating. So there are some things that they've been announcing on that front. As it pertains to the class size law, the administration has been saying that they were in compliance for the first year of the law, they're likely to be in compliance for the second year, and that the real challenge is going to come in the out years. They need like up to $1.9 million to hire thousands of additional educators. So they do continue to maintain that they're going to comply with the law. And, now that this deal has, put some pressure on them to really show their plans for constructing more buildings, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
How is UFT with this final deal, Medina? Are they content with this, or do you think they're going to look to either chip away on it in the next 2 years or come back with, I guess, a vengeance when there's the extension needed in 2026?
The class size law was definitely a major priority for the union. And as I mentioned before, the UFT is pretty powerful, has influence among state lawmakers. Senator Liu, who is the sponsor of the class size bill, is a staunch UFT ally. So the commitments that they got there, definitely there is really a win there for the union. I think they're going to continue to push for compliance with the class size law. And I think down the line, as the administration comes up for another mayoral control renewal fight in 2 years, depending on where things are with compliance, perhaps we will see the union try to push for some additional concession.
We're going to have to leave things there. We've been speaking with Politico New York's education reporter at the Capitol, Caitlin Cordero. Thanks for stopping by, Caitlin.
Thank you.
And we've also been speaking with Politico New York's New York City education reporter, Medina Torre. Medina, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
And for more Capitol Press Room content, visit capitalpressroom.org or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. And if you listen to us from an Apple device, make sure to leave us a rating and a review so it helps other people find the show.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Resorts World New York. With over 1 million square feet of space to play, relax, and celebrate, Resorts World New York City hosts more than 5 million visitors a year. That makes Resorts World a significant social and economic partner for local businesses and residents alike. Through its operations and outreach programs, Resorts World has generated more than $4 billion for the state educational system and 1,400 jobs for the people of Queens. More information at rwnewyork.com.